This is the Bates Bobcast, our weekly podcast about the week that was in Bates Athletics. My name is Aaron Morse, and this week marks our first episode of the 2025-26 school year. The Bobcats are back on campus, and we're previewing the field hockey, men's soccer, women's soccer, volleyball, and cross-country seasons, all of which get underway this week. Hear from our head coaches, including our new volleyball coach, Carissa Bradford. That's coming up on the Bates Bobcast. Number 8 nationally ranked Bates field hockey team begins their season this Tuesday at 6 p.m. when they host the University of Southern Maine at Campus Avenue Field. Head coach Danny Kogut joins us to give us a preview of what we can expect from this year's team, which is coming off a NESCAC runner-up finish and NCAA quarterfinals appearance last season. Well, coach, I mean, you just had a scrimmage with the Division II program, Franklin Pierce. I know you last year you scrimmaged the eventual national champion, St. Anselm, to start the season. Tell me about what these scrimmages show you about your team.
They're just a great opportunity for us to look at our playing style and our principles of play against an opponent that we don't typically see. A little bit different of a playing style than what we see in the NESCAC a lot. They use more of a fallaway press. They tend to go with the bigger ball at times because they have some really talented hitters out of the back. So it really challenges some of our set structures in a way that prepares us, I think, for season. It also allows us to get everyone on the field, see how we're all settling into the new season, kind of find the people who are clicking a little bit sooner as we head into this early part of season. So they're really valuable, and to get to play against the D2 is just really fun. And it's nice to play somebody who we're not going to face later on in season. It really just truly is about the scrimmage and about getting the most out for our program.
Certainly. And obviously, you know, this team graduated some key players, right? You know, so people are going to have to step up this year. What's been your message kind of to the team during preseason about the fact that people graduated, but you got to just keep moving, right?
Yeah, you always keep moving. And I think one thing that we really pride ourselves on and we love about our program is that next person in line isn't as far as maybe people would imagine. And so we did graduate some really key players who were exceptional, but those working right behind them and pushing them to get to the level that they got to are ready because they've constantly challenged that person just in front of them and they haven't waited for their opportunity, right? And that has kept us moving in the right direction for many years, is just this concept that if it's not you on game day this year, make it be you next year, right? And so how are you closing that gap so that you're ready when the opportunity's there?
You have three captains, two of whom are seniors. We'll start with them, Lucy Norris and Brooke Maloney-Kohlenberg, a couple forwards who are both senior captains. Tell me about them and what makes them such strong leaders.
Yeah, they're incredible leaders, very different leaders. So Brooke is one of those leaders that I think leads with a ton of empathy. She knows the beat of the team. She knows where they are mentally, socially, doing with their academics. And so she's really resourceful and just guiding us on how much we can be pushing the team and when they might need a little break or do some fun team bonding to settle us into season. Lucy does that as well, but she really is somebody who I think leads through this sense of just like, she has so much fire. She will do anything for the team. She'll lay out to try to put a ball in the net. And that's how she plays, whether it's a scrimmage against ourselves on a Tuesday or we're competing against the top in the NESCAC, right? Like, she just has this sense of fire to her play, and it's super inspirational.
Yeah, so two senior captains and then a junior captain as well, Haley Dwight, on the defensive end. What a year she had last year. I think she got robbed with postseason awards.
Yes.
Moving forward, but so many defensive saves. Tell me about her. And I don't want to say she came out of nowhere last year, but it was quite the breakout season as a sophomore, wasn't it?
It really was. I mean, she worked so hard for last season, and she's continued to work hard. So she's extremely ready for this season. She leads our team in the weight room space, in the strength and conditioning space. She's somebody who is really taking control of the time she isn't on the field and being the best version herself with all the things that make you an elite athlete, right? It's staying on top of your schoolwork. It's your hydration, your sleep, your nutrition, all those elements that are extras and above and beyond the field. And she just is such an example in that space for the team. And I think the team really looks up to her because of the effort that she's putting in beyond the time we're training.
You have two goalies who have quite some great experience. There's not too many teams that have, you know, the experience that, you know, Kylie Jacobson and Ava Donahue has. That must make you feel pretty good, right?
Yeah, we feel great with our GKU. They're so strong. They push each other daily. They're each other's biggest fans and advocates, and both of them are really incredible keepers. They just play the game so well.
I'm curious about, you know, you got six first years. That's a pretty big first year class. So how are you seeing them kind of adjust to college field hockey so far? And what do you see from them maybe in the scrimmage also?
They adapted right in. They were ready to go for preseason, all of them, which was really exciting to see. So in terms of fitness, they were ready to go. Their game IQ has really been shining through and developing quickly to get in pace with how we want to play, and just kind of adapting some of the styles that our programs have, which are naturally going to be different than their high school and clubs at times, and sometimes there'll be overlaps. But they showed up in the scrimmage last night. They all put in a really good performance. Sophia Cordoni scored her very first goal as a Bobcat, which is always a really special moment. And it was a great goal because it was one of those where she took the initial shot and it was saved, and she just stayed with it and grinded it out and found the net. And we love to see that early on in season.
You know, for this team, obviously last year, NCAA quarterfinals for most programs, that'd feel really great. And it did feel really great, but I'm sure there was some disappointment also, because obviously, you know, Tufts was kind of the thorn in your side. Mm-hmm. You showed you can beat, you know, the best team in the country, Middlebury, played Tufts three times, came up short. How hungry is this team right now for this year? Especially to play Tufts again, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, they're really hungry. They want it bad, and they don't want to be stopped at that Elite Eight this year. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they know that to get even to that Elite Eight takes a lot between now and then. And I think what they do well is they focus on that very next game, and that's something that they work hard to be able to do. They work with somebody in the sports psych space so that they can really focus in on that next game, that next practice, that next moment, which gets us to the Elite Eight. But to say that they don't want to get there, like, that is their goal. They want to be in the national championship game, right? That's why they train all the time. That's why they work as hard as they do. But it's just not something that we necessarily really talk about or acknowledge once we're in season. We're very focused on that next practice and what we can bring to the table that next time, even though I think we all know we're all thinking we want to get as far as we can possibly go, right?
Certainly. And you as a coach have noticed the past couple of years especially, you're not afraid to change things up in the middle of the season if something's not maybe necessarily going right. How do you kind of evaluate things as you go along, and how drastic of a change are you willing to make sometimes?
I mean, we're willing to do anything to get the success that we're looking for. I think sometimes in coaching you can get really narrow vision into what has worked in the past. And I've certainly fallen trap in the past to that, but what we've been working hard as a staff to do over the last couple of seasons is to be really flexible and trust the fact that we know we have the talent to be successful. And so if we're not performing the way we want, we shouldn't get stuck in that structure or how we're playing, and we should be adaptable to the players that we have. And recruiting is not a perfect art, right? Like, you can't go out there and say, okay, we're going to lose this senior, and so we need to replace her with her copy and paste. That just doesn't happen. But you're looking for the best recruits that fit your culture, your style. They're going to resonate with your coaching style, and you're going to get the best out of them. And then it's up to you to figure out what that looks like on the field, right?
And it's early, but what is this team's kind of identity early on, you think?
I think that they're going to play a really connected style of hockey. So what we're seeing early on is that they're playing a two-touch. They're moving the ball really well. I don't think we're going to have the separation of, okay, this many goals is scored by this person, and there's a big gap between her and number two. I think that it's going to be very spread across the board this year. They're just playing this style of connection, get it done in whatever way we have to get it done.
Yeah, because last year, Anna Cody scored a lot.
She had goals and assists, right?
Yes.
She was highest on both ends, yeah. And so much came through her, and she was an incredible athlete to coach for 4 years and incredible teammate to the team, and just somebody who day-to-day you wouldn't know was putting in those results on game day. And I think what made her so successful is that she did incorporate her teammates around her so well, and they really trusted her. And I think that's a huge loss for us and a lot of points to replace this season. But I think we have players who are ready to step into that and know that it's going to take all of them to get that done.
Yeah, and then looking at the early season schedule, obviously you open Tuesday here against USM at 6 o'clock right here at Campus Avenue Field. Right in NESCAC play, we're used to this, though, at Trinity on the 6th. And then you get home for a non-conference game against a ranked opponent, though, Lynchburg. So that's a kind of a little bit different to have someone coming here all the way up from Virginia, right?
Yeah, we're so excited to play them, and it worked out so nice. And their coaching staff has been amazing just coming up here and making the trip. To get to play somebody not in our conference, not from New England, is incredibly valuable to us. We see a lot of the same opponents every year. And so to get that early in the season and to get to see a nationally ranked opponent that's not from our region is going to be huge for us. We're going to be able to evaluate our play, see where we stand, and take some really good lessons out of that.
And of course, the NESCAC will be stacked as usual. Almost more than, pretty much, I think more than half the conference is nationally ranked to start the year. Not that those rankings mean a whole lot, but I mean, what are your thoughts on kind of how the NESCAC shapes up?
You never know. I mean, it's the craziest conference ever, but yeah, a huge number of us are nationally ranked. It's going to be competitive as it always is. I think it's a conference that you never know who's going to rise to the actual top at the end of the season because everyone's been working hard out of season and recruiting hard. We all see each other at everything, right? We're all going to the same events. We're all putting in that work to bring in those next classes. So I think it's really going to depend on which team has the best cohesion, the best culture, can kind of find their groove and get the wins against each other because everyone's going to be good.
Well, anything else you wanted to mention about your team this year? Maybe any, I mean, coaches are sometimes loathe to do this, but any individuals who have stood out so far in camp, you know, who are excited for maybe a big year, breakout year perhaps, anything else you wanted to mention about the team?
No, I just think that they're really strong. We definitely have some young players stepping into big roles. Rose Gordon will be huge mm-hmm. for us again in the center of the field as the center mid. And she's somebody who can control a lot of the play. So that's great to see out of her early on. And then we have some returners coming in, especially in our defensive unit. We're returning most of our D, which we love because we had a super strong defense last year. And it was something that allowed us to stay in games because we weren't giving up a lot of shots. And then obviously Ava, when the shot was there, had an incredible year last year and made the not only the save she should have, but some of them that just kind of wowed us. So we have a really good defensive unit returning, which gives us a lot of stability in that backfield.
Terrific. Well, Danny Kogut, thanks so much for joining us here on the Bobcast to preview the field hockey season. 6 o'clock Tuesday night. This podcast comes out on Tuesday, so if you're listening right now, the game might be going on at Campus Avenue Field, the home opener against University of Southern Maine. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Aaron.
The volleyball team is home Wednesday when they host the University of Southern Maine at 6 p.m. in Alumni Gym. They already had an intra-squad scrimmage on Friday as they hosted the Garnet Growl, welcoming the class of 2029 to campus. This week, we preview their season and introduce you to our new head coach, Carissa Bradford. Well, Carissa, welcome to the Bobcast, our new volleyball coach here at Bates. Before we start talking about this year's team, definitely want to hear about your background. Growing up, how did you first get involved playing volleyball? What made it, you know, a passion of yours?
Yeah, so I come from a very volleyball-focused family. My dad played at Pepperdine in the 90s. My mom played Division I basketball. And I just, you know, kind of picked it up here or there, playing at the beach on family outings and things like that, and really got serious with it when I started high school. And then, you know, going into college, got recruited out of high school to play at University of the Pacific and then transferred around a bit to find my home. Eventually found it at South Alabama down in Mobile, and we were able to do some really, really good things down there, win conference championships, break a bunch of records, and it was a really, really special experience to be a part of growing a program and starting a legacy. So I really look back at that experience, and that's really something that I want to do here at Bates is be a part of that, like building a legacy, putting banners up in the gym, and yeah, having a lot of success. So
you also got to play at the University of Tennessee in the SEC. What was that experience like?
That was a wild experience. It was the COVID year, 2020. Oh,
okay.
So things were definitely a little different than normal.
Yeah.
But that was really, really special. I think it put a lot of things in perspective for me. So playing at the Division I level, I love Division III.
Yeah.
I'll say that. I've completely bought into D3.
Yeah.
I never thought that I would be here, but it has been an amazing experience at my previous school where I was coaching at Regis and then also here at Bates. It's really spectacular to be able to see all these student athletes do the most amazing things off the court and cultivate all their different interests and passions, and then also be able to compete and train at the highest level too in the gym. So it's really special.
Yeah, I was going to say, you come to us from Regis College where you were a full-time assistant coach there. Mm-hmm. And it looks like you helped out with both the women's and men's programs. What was that experience like?
Yeah. So I did men's and women's there. Definitely a learning curve coaching the men's. A little bit different than the women's game. But it was really, really special. It really helped me just develop like how I teach certain skills and how I teach certain scouts and stuff like that. I'm huge on like not everyone learns the same. Not everyone is going to be coached the same and respond the same to me. So it's my job to really figure out how best I can make my players successful. And the men's tailoring my message and my coaching to the men's was really, really important. And also a huge reason why we brought our assistant Sachio on. He also came from obviously a men's program down in Nichols, and he's been super, super helpful kind of bringing in parts of the men's game into the women's game and helping us be successful that way.
How do they differ? How are they similar?
Men's is a lot more about power and size and termination. I'd say a lot simpler of a game. The women's game is definitely a little bit more strategic. It's more like chess. We can move things around and help us be successful, even if we don't have someone that's 6'7" hitting in the front row. But sometimes it's good to go to the men's game if we just want to kind of simplify things. So.
And when you play, what position did you play?
I was an outside hitter and a right side hitter, depending on where they needed me.
Yeah.
I always joke and say that I did not play Division I or college volleyball because I could jump high. It was just because I could hit hard.
And outside hitter, right side hitter, sometimes called opposite.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about similarities and differences, because either way, you're a hitter, but I know there's nuance.
Yeah, definitely there is nuance, just the way you transition, the way you block, and the different types of sets that you hit. But for the most part, they're pretty similar. I definitely loved outside a lot more. I could manipulate the block a lot more and be a little bit more strategic in where I put teams and out of system and taking certain people on the other side out. Right side was a little bit more of a learning curve, but we got through it.
And what makes it such a learning curve, kind of?
Well, you're switching sides, so it's like the opposite side.
Yeah.
So if you're not comfortable going off of your right foot,
okay,
it's a really uncomfortable, which I was not comfortable going off my right foot to go block or hit. I liked my left foot a lot better. So that was a struggle. But it was really good again. Like, and it's been helping me now coaching our right sides and coaching our middles going behind the setter, being able to really break it down, how it was broken down to me and, you know, help them with different cues and stuff like that.
I'm curious, and this is true in all sports, but, you know, coaches have to coach positions they did not play necessarily, right? You were not a setter. You were not a libero. No. You're not a defensive specialist. How do you work with those athletes, even though you don't have a background necessarily playing those positions?
A lot of film.
Yeah.
Honestly, a lot of film. We've brought in a different film platform this year called Ball Time, and it's been super, super helpful in breaking things down. It's so nerdy. I could go on and on forever about it, but it's super helpful in showing us like what sides we struggle on passing, our setter tempos, and it calculates things like how long our sets are in the air. So if we need to push tempo and go a little bit faster, we can see that on the film. So little things like that. The film really, really helps us break it down. But then I'd say the other part of coaching positions that I'm not comfortable or haven't played is keeping people on your staff that are comfortable with multiple positions as well. And that's, again, where Sachio comes in. He's been super helpful with the DSs and setters and breaking down our passing and setting out a system and stuff like that.
So you're at Regis. What appealed to you about coming up here to Bates? Obviously, you want to be a head coach, so that was an opportunity.
Yeah.
But what about Bates specifically appealed to you?
I would say number one thing is there's opportunity to grow. In our program specifically, we have not been super successful in conference in the past, but I like day one when we came in the gym, I saw that we have all the pieces to be successful. So that was really, really exciting for me as a coach, is we can do amazing things here. And then those amazing things are made possible by a phenomenal support staff in athletics. I think just from an employee perspective, Bates is a wonderful place to work. You're surrounded by just super successful, super competitive coaches that are great mentors to me. And then I can kind of, you know, build off of what they've done in their various sports. So that's been super exciting. And then, of course, Bates being in the NESCAC is really, really exciting. I don't think it gets much better than the NESCAC, especially in volleyball. It's super, super competitive. Every top half of conference is nationally ranked for the most part of the year. So, you know, as coaches, we were once players, so we want to compete too. We still have that competitive bone in our body.
And from a recruiting perspective, I mean, volleyball, it sounds like you got to recruit California mostly. Is that fair? Or how does that kind of work in terms of strategy?
Yeah, so I'm originally from LA,
right.
So I definitely am biased towards the West Coast. And we have a huge West Coast Hawaii pull,
yep,
to Bates, and have historically in our volleyball program. That being said, if you can play, you can play.
Yeah.
So we're really branching out. Even the Northeast is getting more competitive too with volleyball. So being able to bring in players from more local schools and clubs is huge. But I mean, the national draw that Bates has, just as a school itself, has been super helpful.
I'm wondering, since you're from California, maybe,
yeah,
you can speak to this. I mean, is it because there's so much beach volleyball there? Why is volleyball so big? I mean, we don't play beach here. It is an NCAA sport. We don't play it at Bates.
Yeah.
But I mean, why is volleyball so big in California specifically?
Well, we don't have winter, so
that helps.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you go to the beaches in California, and a couple of my girls are from LA, and they can,
yeah,
attest to this. There's just volleyball courts for as far as the eye can see,
yeah,
just all over. So you just go. My brother plays beach for the USA team. So he goes down and trains every single day, and it's the hub. Teams from all over the world come and train in that sand. So it's, yeah, you're just surrounded by it constantly. It's just a huge part of the culture down there.
Team USA for your brother?
Team USA.
Has he played,
yeah,
the Olympics before?
No, he hasn't.
Oh,
he's 21. So
okay.
He's, I think, the youngest guy on the squad.
Okay.
Hoping for LA,
yep,
2028, right?
Yeah,
yeah. So we'll see.
That's
exciting.
That's really exciting.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, you had the Garnet Growl this past Friday night at Alumni Gym. Got the first years out to see the team in action. How'd that event go from your perspective?
It was really, really exciting. The anticipation, I think, for the girls was beyond anything they've really had in the past for that opening event. Seeing the gym packed, it was so loud. Having all the support out there from, you know, admin and coaches and other sports was really, really special. The first year is definitely nervous, but I think they played really, really well and executed. We got exactly what we wanted out of it, which was kind of a trial run in our gym, getting all the jitters out before we start on Wednesday. But yeah, I think there's a lot of promise, and I think a lot of people saw that on Friday.
And speaking of Wednesday, you're hosting the University of Southern Maine at 6 o'clock for the season opener here at Alumni Gym. What do you hope to see from your team now when they actually get into, you know, intercollegiate action here?
I hope that they can showcase what we have, not hold back, I guess, is a good way. I joke with them and say, like show off in the gym. So we had a scrimmage a couple days ago down at Bridgewater, and I told them just, like, show off, you know, show them what they got, show them what you got. But mostly we're hoping for just execution of everything we've worked on in preseason. We're very strategic with our scouting and our offenses and our defenses. So being able to bring in that cerebral part of the game is going to be really, really helpful for us. And I hope that they can execute.
So tell us about your team a little bit this year. I mean, you're getting to know them. What's kind of standing out? I mean, you know, obviously we have some players who have played a lot of volleyball for us, whether it be Amy Evans, who's a senior, Sophia Castiglione, who had a big year last year as a sophomore. And we also have some players new to the team beyond first years, like Isabel Betancourt, who's a softball player here at Bates. So tell me a little bit about what this team, what stood out so far to you?
I think as a team, they've all bought in immediately to what we're trying to do. So we have three first years,
yep,
Jamie Jordan and Katie. They've been integral parts of what we're trying to do already. A lot of firepower from our two hitters. And then Katie has been awesome adjusting to our service receive system. And then Bo, too, just like hopping in. We're so excited to have her. She's been fantastic and a really good part of the team as well. And then fantastic, fantastic leadership from the upperclassmen. That has been huge. Kate Aris has been phenomenal, kind of leading the team off the court. Amy's just a great leader on the court as well. And then everyone else just kind of leads in their own way. And they just come in ready to work every single day. I'm really excited for the firepower that we have in the front row, our big hitters. I think we're really good in the front. And then we worked a lot on our serve receive to make that efficient too. So again, a lot of good pieces. We're really excited to see it put it all together.
One player who's kind of interesting in terms of her position is Nora Gilmer, because she's listed, we have her as a setter, but she's also a hitter.
Yeah.
That's kind of a rare thing to have someone who does both, sort of.
Totally. Yeah. I always, like, when I'm in the recruiting process with these players, being a setter right side is kind of the best position you can be in, because you're doubling your chances to have an impact on the team and on the court. Nora's been phenomenal. A phenomenal setter this preseason. She definitely wants to hit, and we work her in as much as we can, and she's always ready to go. We'll definitely see her in setting action this season, running our offense.
Terrific. And I thought in the scrimmage, I was calling out Anais Rainom a lot. I was calling out Jordan Blackburn a lot. Yep. It seems like, as you mentioned, the hitters are in pretty good shape, it looks like.
Absolutely.
Tell us about the front line, like who we expect to see, sort of.
Yeah, we have great depth in all three spots. Of course, nothing's nailed down yet.
Sure.
but I think our middles are really, really good because they're really dynamic. So we run a couple different offenses where we're going behind the setter, staying in front, just pushing pace and getting these fast sets in the air, which really frustrates other teams. Our name of the game is definitely speed in the front row. And hitters, they've really adjusted well to that. Jamie and Jordan really coming in as freshmen, and that switch from high school volleyball and club volleyball to college volleyball, you can get really overwhelmed with the pace really easily. But they've done an excellent job at just adjusting and being coachable. Same thing with Katie, too. Adjusting to the serve pace, adjusting to the dig pace.
Being a new coach here at Bates, and with this team in particular, do you watch film from last year, or do you just kind of take a fresh look for this year?
I definitely watched film last year prior to preseason just to see what kind of we were working with.
Yeah.
But on day one of preseason, I was like, oh, this is a completely different team now. Mm-hmm. Big freshman class last year, having that 1 year under their belt really, really changed, I think, just how they play and their confidence in the gym. And then same thing junior to senior, that switch as well is a big jump. I definitely did watch film last year, but it's a completely different team. Completely different team, which is exciting.
Absolutely. Well, any other thoughts you want to mention about the upcoming season we haven't got to talk about yet?
I'd say that the girls are antsy. We're ready to get going, as are we as coaches. But we're really hoping to move up a couple spots in the NESCAC and earn some playoff games, earn some home playoff games, and really make an impact this year.
Sounds good. The Bobcats, again, are home this Wednesday at 6 o'clock. They're also home this Saturday at 11 a.m. against Keene State and 3 p.m. against University of New England. It's a tri-match, so we also have a neutral site game we're hosting there. So a long day of volleyball Saturday at Alumni Gym. And then also home a week from Tuesday against Maine Maritime Academy. So lots of home matches to start off the season before a bit of a road trip. But looking forward to it. Carissa Bradford, new head coach of the Bates volleyball team. Thanks so much for joining us on the Bobcast. And welcome to Bates.
Thank you.
The soccer teams both begin their respective seasons on Wednesday as well, with the men's soccer team home against St. Joseph's on Russell Street Field at 6 p.m. Head coach Ben Brewster is entering his second year at the helm of the program, and he joins us to preview the men's soccer season. Ben, last year, obviously, you had an elite scorer in Tife Egunloye, who was All-NESCAC three times here at Bates. He's graduated. So in camp, who are you looking to step up to fill the void, kind of? Because that's a tough hole to fill kind of on the team, right?
Yeah. Tife was a good player for us last season and over his career at Bates. I think what will be different and unique about this year's team is it's a good mixture of some of the upperclassmen who have played a big role last year or over their careers, such as Lane Fouché and Sebastian Iacoviti, Wilson Smith, some other upperclassmen who have worked so hard to get better over the last few years, and then some incoming first years who have looked good so far during the first couple weeks of practice.
Yeah, Iacoviti had that great highlight there against Bowdoin, your alma mater. Was that the most memorable match last season?
Yeah, it was a fun one.
Yeah.
It was a fun one. 90th minute winner, yeah. Russell Street Field opener. It's hard to beat that one.
You guys are off to a really fast start last year, and then a little bit of a struggle down the stretch. Obviously, you played some very tough teams, but what's it going to take for the team to kind of maintain that level of play all year, you think?
Yeah, it's a combination of things. The NESCAC is so strong, men's soccer-wise. So I think that we have now gotten to a place where we're competitive in these games. A lot of guys on the team have experienced being competitive in these games, one goal losses to some of the top teams in the country. So hopefully that experience will help us going into this season. Also important to stay healthy and just stay connected and together throughout the whole season through the ups and downs.
You have four captains, Lane Fouché, you touched on, Andrew Goddard, Noah Greif, and Sebastian Iacovitti. What makes these four such good leaders, two of whom are juniors?
Yeah, it's a good mix having two junior captains and two senior captains, especially with Lane and Sebastian going abroad last spring. Andrew and Noah did a nice job leading the team in the offseason. Different personalities. Lane and Noah would be a little bit quieter, lead by example, whereas Sebastian and Andrew are a little bit louder and more extroverted. So it's a good balance and a good mix for the group.
One non-conference game and right in NESCAC play, right? What's that like?
yeah, right into it. So, no, it's exciting. I think that thinking back to when I was a student-athlete in the NESCAC,
yeah.
I think we had a week of preseason and then opened versus Amherst. It's slightly better now where you get 2 weeks and then out of conference game and then into it. So it's sort of the nature of it, and we're excited for the challenge.
You know, last year we debuted the new Russell Street turf. How did it play for soccer?
Yeah, very well.
Yeah.
Very well. It's just such a good surface year-round, consistency, and just the timing of our training sessions are so much better.
Do the guys like the chance to – I mean, obviously they played night games on Garcelon before. What's it like playing under the lights for these guys?
Yeah, they love it.
Yeah.
So it's fun to play under the lights. So the midweek under the lights games are ones that guys look forward to.
I know you guys have had a scrimmage already against Thomas College. How'd that go? How do you use that to evaluate the team kind of?
Yeah, it went well. So we did, with the scrimmage, we played 2 45-minute halves, and then we played a 30-minute mini game at the end so everybody could get playing time and so we could evaluate everybody and to keep kind of topping up the fitness levels, if you will. So we won the first game 2-1 and played well for stretches of the game and dealt with some adversity in the second half, so it was good to see the team deal with that adversity and have sort of a rebound mentality or resiliency to sort of bounce back, get a result, and then got guys sort of the appropriate number of minutes to get them ready for St. Joe's.
And then, you know, looking ahead a little bit, we do have an alumni day coming up, September 20th. Wesleyan game is at 2 o'clock, but you also have an alumni game that morning, I think, right? Tell us about this.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, making it part of a tradition to get a fall alumni game going and gathering every year. We've had some great support from a huge group of our alumni through the FBA Challenge and the fundraising and their engagement levels with the alumni mentorship program we started as well.
Yep.
And so the alumni, we're doing an alumni game with the women's team, 8 a.m. on the 20th, followed by sort of a barbecue, watch the women's game at 12, and then our game kicks off at 2, and then a gathering after. So it should be a fun day for Bates soccer, and hope to see a bunch of men's soccer alumni from different eras and their families back on campus.
Tell us about your sophomore goalie, George Nassar, coming back here this year. He had a top 10 Sports Center play last year. A pretty solid debut season. What are you looking for him to take to the next level, perhaps?
Yeah, he did. George's had a very good offseason. He came in and won the starting position as a first year and had a good freshman year and has just worked hard to improve, both in the weight room, over the summer with the teams and the coaches he's been working with. So he's had a very good preseason, and we're excited to see what he does this year.
Every team has a different type of identity, style, perhaps. Every year it's a little bit different. How do you view this team? What can we expect to see in terms of, like, what kind of soccer they're going to be playing?
Over the last year and a half, we have a Bates soccer identity in terms of how we want to play and how we want to act on and off the field. So starts with sort of the energy and the tempo and the aggressiveness that we play with, and the togetherness that we have on and off the field, and you know how that will hopefully look as a team that outworks our opponents, outthinks our opponents, and is able to just impose ourselves through our energy and our fitness levels on the other team.
Anything you learned as your first year as a head coach that you're going to apply to this season?
Good question, Aaron. So many learning lessons, you know, just so many. I think it's being back in the NESCAC and seeing how strong the league is helpful to see going into this year, sort of going through different, just sort of all this little logistics of travel and meals on the road and this, that, and the other. I think you're always sort of learning and picking different things up and try to improve it year after year.
Great. Well, any other thoughts, anything else you wanted to mention about this year's team we haven't got to talk about before the home opener here this Wednesday?
No, excited. They've been working hard. They reported into preseason fit. and excited for us to, our goal is just to keep getting better each and every day. So a little sort of goals along the way. And the first one is we have a training session in about an hour. So have a good session today and then a good session tomorrow and then open at home against St. Joe's. So we're looking forward to it.
I know the first thing you do before any soccer is a fitness test, like straight up the first morning you want to see where they're at, right?
Yes, exactly. So, and they did well. So they came in even fitter than last year and they were fit last year. So it was a good start and shows that they're quite serious about it, which is good.
Sounds good. Ben Brewster, the head coach of our men's soccer team. Again, they are home this Wednesday, 6 o'clock, Russell Street Track and Field with that new turf against St. Joseph's College of Maine to get the 2025 season underway. Open NESCAC play this Saturday at Trinity at 2 o'clock. Back home a week from Tuesday against UNE at 7. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Bobcast.
Yep, thanks, Aaron.
The women's soccer team is on the road Wednesday at Husson to begin their season. The match gets underway at 7 p.m., and head coach Joe Vary gives us a preview.
We had a scrimmage a couple of days at St. Joe's. It was a good little walkthrough for us. I think we were 4 days into preseason, so that makes things obviously a little chaotic. But we've been really, really happy with the group. The energy's been great. The focus into things has really done a really, really nice job. Our upper class and even our first years, they're gelling along, so... You know, we're really happy where we are and, you know, excited to get the season rolling soon.
Your captains are Tess Griffith this year and Samantha Bunar. Tell us a little bit about what makes them such good leaders.
They lead by example, but not to take away their ability to be vocal. But they're two players that, you know, their emotions are on their sleeves. So, you know, they bleed garnet for us. And they've done a really, really great job of, kind of communicating and connecting with the group. But that's not to take away, any of the other leadership that we're getting from, the seniors and the juniors. Yeah, they've done a really, really nice job of just showing everybody what the standard is and keep communicating that for us.
Last year, Isabel Bernal had kind of a spectacular debut, was on SportsCenter, had some great moments, scored against Bowdoin as well, had a season-ending injury. Looks like she's back, though. Tell us about where she's at.
Yeah, Bernie's she's non-contact with things and kind of coming along. And, I think we have an update for her in early September, which okay. is hard to believe. Today's the first, right? So,
yeah. We're there.
Yeah, in the next week or two. Yeah. To see, but her progress has been really good. And then also Nicole Tendienski had a season end one. Mm. She's back playing for us and is doing a really, really great job. So, kudos to Sports Med and, our PT stuff and also the amount of work that they've put in, the players themselves.
So in terms of scoring goals this year, who are you looking to put the ball in the back of the net this season for the Bobcats?
Yeah, so Gabby Monaco's yep. Senior for us. We've got a couple of first years, that are going to be, we think, great additions. Eleanor Martin also mm-hmm. is a good returning forward for us. We have a couple of attacking options that we're excited about. So it has been kind of the blueprint for us to create goals, by committee. And I think that'll be the same. But, I think we'll rely pretty heavily there on, Gabby as a senior. But I think, a couple of our other younger players will step in and fill some of those roles for us.
What kind of style of soccer can we expect to see from this year's version of the Bobcats?
Yeah, we want to work on, trying to get back to the info and the things that the players have control over. So a lot of it is just them being able to be competitors and competing from game to game. I think the style won't really change too much for us from over the last couple of years. That is really kind of been our approach of it. But I do feel like we're able to continue to kind of keep ramping that up. We believe in the team game. It's important for all 11 players to kind of carry the load. So, like I said, a lot of it will be by committee. But I also think that we're to the point where, you know, we can keep being more aggressive, more assertive, and be a little bit more competitors on the field.
Yeah, looking at last year's schedule, I mean, a number of one-goal games. Obviously, you had the thrilling win at Connecticut College, some tough, you know, heartbreaking losses, whether it be Colby or Bowdoin, Wesleyan last year, Williams. So how do you flip some of those? You know, what's the key?
that's the conference in a nutshell. I mean, you can win the game or you can lose it 4-0. It's everything in between. You know, we had a really strong start to things in September, and the goal is hopefully to keep that momentum carrying on a little bit longer. The small things, you know, like I said, we feel like the being able to kind of compete, hopefully we can flip the results in a couple of those games, you know, kind of turn those into maybe a tie or something like that. You know, some of them were just us not tracking somebody late and, you know, on a set piece or something like that. So, you know, a couple of those games, we were pretty close to turning that into a tie. And, you know, if we can do that, like, those points become really, really important for us. And then same thing, you know, some of the other games, we feel like if we can keep kind of closing the gap, hopefully the results start to come our way.
One exciting game we have on the calendar this year is Alumni Day, September 20th. Women's soccer team is hosting Wesleyan at 11 a.m. There's also going to be an alumni soccer match. People can register at the link at gobatesbobcats.com. But tell us about this event, because this is new, right?
Yeah, we normally would do the alumni game in the spring, and kind of in conjunctions with the men's program. And, you know, we're trying to increase a little bit of the connection and the enrollment and, the networking for the alums. Being able to kind of get more people to those games, and we wanted to do one standalone. It's great to have everybody back for back debates, but that weekend is just so chaotic that it's hard for us to keep adding more things. So, you know, we wanted to do a weekend specific, home match where hopefully we can get some more alums come back to that game.
I know, yeah, you've been connecting with some alums from, like, who started the program, right? What's that experience been like?
Yeah, we did a networking event this summer with a fair amount of our alums, and we did have a couple that founded the program, and, you know, we also had some alums that, you know, just were recent grads, so it was really neat to kind of see the width and the bandwidth of the alums that we had back, and it was a neat opportunity too for our students to kind of just sit down, you know, in Zoom and meet with some of our alums and talk about their different pathways and where they are now and how they've gotten there. And then obviously, you know, how soccer helped them get there. So, you know, it's something that we want to keep continually growing. And so we'll try and make those more and more frequent. But it also was just a neat opportunity for, you know, a couple of our players to build that connection. Hopefully that helps them kind of down the road, but I think it was also really inspiring for them to see, you know, all the great things that our alums are doing. And then, you know, for them also to see how everybody's path is completely different. So for them to kind of figure out a little bit of their own trajectory.
Looking forward to the home matches again, the home opener, September 10th against Thomas Russell Street Track and Field. I know for soccer, like in the ideal world, it'd be like a perfectly manicured grass pitch. But in New England and with the winners we have, turf is a little bit better. But tell us about how the turf debuted last year.
Yeah, it was great. Wonderful addition. Obviously, the addition to the lights has been a really big, you know, kind of game changer. And, you know, now with the non-traditional season, you know, we had all of our practices outside in March, which we would have never been able to do, you know, years in past. And I think also, you know, it was really great to see the dedication of the scoreboard to Coach Fresh the other day, which was, you know, amazing. So, you know, the venue starting to kind of like piece in piece, and we're adding block and block, and it's turning into a really nice area. So, it would be amazing to absolutely, you know, have a lush and grass field. But, you know, the downside is when you have a lush and grass field, you know, facilities doesn't want you to use it. So,
right.
So then you got to find an alternative. So, yeah. You know, the synthetic surface plays great for us. We had a ton of rain the other day, and, you know, we trained, you know, 30 minutes after that. No questions asked. So
are the vast majority of NESCAC soccer pitches now turf, or are there some grass ones out there?
There's still majority are grass. grass.
Okay.
It's like us and Tufts are really the two for sure, like 100% on turf.
Oh, and others have different fields.
And they have the option of kind of doing a bit of both.
Yeah.
I think like you said, to our area, like where we are, and you know, I know obviously it benefits lacrosses also, yeah. But it certainly benefits us and you know, campus wide.
I know for like other sports, like for instance, like field hockey has different types of turf, and it's a huge difference mm-hmm. in terms of how the game is played. Is there a huge difference when you go to grass field now?
I don't think so.
Okay.
You know, the turf product we put in was supposed to be a little bit more real life grass.
Sure. Simulating grass.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Even in the grass realm of things, you have a difference between, you know, a bluegrass,
yeah.
you know, and a Bermuda yeah. and, you know, some of the thicker strands that you get up here in the north. And so, you know, even from game field to game field in the opponents, you know, that on the grass, it's a different surface. So hard to, you know, replicate every single
right.
piece of things. But it doesn't run, even there's a difference between Garcelon and Russell with,
right.
you know, the playing on it too. So, you know, Garce is a little bit of a shorter, kind of blade. And so the ball does play a little faster there.
Interesting. Well, I mean, anything else you wanted to mention about this year's version of the Bates women's soccer team we haven't got to talk about yet?
We're excited where we are programmatically, you know, with the players that we return, but also in, you know, it's a great spot to be on campus, obviously with a lot of the additions and things that are happening in the department. You know, for us as a program, you know, we're making some good additions and connections with the alumni. So, you know, not only is the product on the field and, you know, the experience for the players is, you know, continues to grow and gets better and better, but you know, it's a really great time to be a Bobcat.
Excellent. Bobcats at Huston this Wednesday, 7 o'clock for the season opener up in Bangor. You can watch it via the link at GoBatesBobcats.com, or you can make the two-hour trip north to support Bates. Joe Berry, thanks so much.
Appreciate it, Aaron. Thank you.
The cross-country teams are at Bowdoin this Saturday for the CBB meet. And this past Saturday, they held their annual alumni meet and Goodrich Memorial Throws competition. On top of that, the Bobcats officially dedicated the Al Farishidian scoreboard. Head coach Danny Feldman joins us on this week's episode of the Bobcast to give us an inside look at both the men's and women's cross-country teams.
There's a tradition on the alumni weekend where the weather is always sunny and nice, and that was something when I first took this job that Coach Fresh told me was something that he always felt was a knock on wood, like a great vibe because the weather's great, so many people come back, and this past weekend was no different from opening up the morning with having seven throwers throwing multiple events, having the entire cross-country team out to support them, and then honoring Coach Fresh and the scoreboard, and then coming back for having everybody run the 5K around campus was special, really was.
So what was it like? I mean, I know the Farishidian family was there, and how's the scoreboard looking?
Scoreboard's looking great. I would tell you it was really cool to have all of the Bates collective come out, from Stacy, you know, debuting, to our entire community, to Gary, to Eric, to every single faction of every department on campus coming to support Coach Fresh, the team, the whole Bates family was just really, really cool. And it kind of coincided with a 5K at the end that really was special, followed by everybody having food right in front of Common. So it was really getting like the full Bates experience in one fell swoop when it comes to running and throwing.
5K, tell us who stood out.
who stood out? So from our squad, we treated it like a tempo effort just
yeah.
because we had to be mindful. The kids are doing a lot of volume regardless of gender. And we had a group of five guys on our team that were tempoing at 5:30 pace for 5K. So that was Nate Roberts, JJ Roca, Max Hoffman. Oh my gosh, I'm blanking on the other two. Jack Crum and... it was just those four guys. Mm. One of the other guys was on his ASOPs. Since all of our first years, we strongly encouraged to go
right.
on those trips. So we haven't had first years at the alumni weekend for the last 3 years.
Sure. And then in terms of, you know, I guess the upcoming meet we have here, it's going to be a chance for some of the newcomers to make an impact right away, right? Because you kind of want to rest your starters, I guess, until the main state meet. You want to see what some of these newcomers can do.
It's not only just seeing what they can do;
yeah.
it's also just easing them into the true cross country distances at
sure.
the college level. The women are doing a 4.5 5K and the men are doing a 6K. Mm-hmm. It's also a pancake flat course at Bowdoin. Bowdoin's also hosting Maine States in 2 weeks. It also just, the reason why we're not having some of the other kids compete is it's giving them a solid 4 straight weeks now of training. And training with your teammates is pretty darn special, and it makes things a lot easier as opposed to the 13 weeks over the summer that they were grinding wherever they were in the country or world. So I'm really excited, and it's also a great opportunity for our upperclassmen to support the first years in their first collegiate race.
And now I remember what I wanted to ask you. The community runs, I know those are something you've kind of really emphasized, and also it was cool to see on Instagram, you know, Gary's husband, you know, John, joined the team on that. How fun is that?
It's so much fun. John came this last Thursday. Gary happened to stop by as well just to wish us luck on the season. I think it's really important to do these runs because I think community is one of the most important things tied to Bates, but also culture, as I've said in the past, eats everything. And having our men and women run together for the first 2 miles and then branch off, but inviting those that are connected to our program to come out on Thursdays, like Mark Hatch, who's our new admissions director, is going to come out for a run. He also ran, since he's an alum, at the alumni run this past weekend, even though he, I don't think, was planning to. I kind of coaxed him into doing it. But no, the community runs are really fun, and I think it just trying to make this special for everybody.
Yeah, Mark Hatch, one of our great All-American cross-country runners. I think he was a 3-time All-American here in cross-country.
Absolutely, yeah.
Really impressive. You know, in terms of the returners on the men's side, in terms of the captains, tell us a little bit about your captains on the men's side. Obviously, we Ross Tejeda has made a huge impact already, in track and field during his time here at Bates. Has been, solid in cross-country as well. Callahan Porter had a really good year last year, I thought, in cross-country, and then also joined by Jackson Mons, who was captain last year also. Tell us about these three.
Yeah, all three of them are coming back to Bates, I think, with a renewed sense of confidence, but also bringing with them some tremendous leadership. Jackson Mons has just been battling a little bit of a minor leg injury. So he didn't time trial with the rest of the group the first practice, but Ross and Callahan both did tremendously well. And I would tell you that they have raised the bar when it comes to the commitment that we are expecting of everybody on the team when it comes to just regardless of, we have 31 guys, Aaron, on our team this year, which is a not insignificant number, and we want to make sure that everybody feels like they have a role to play. And I think the captains really do a great job of reminding everybody that they matter and that they can contribute in a variety of different ways.
Yeah, I mean, you can only have a certain number of people, score at a meet, obviously. So tell me a little bit about how you work to, keep those athletes who might not necessarily get the opportunities originally to, motivated.
So we're really big on making sure that everybody is competing at the same location in the same kind of environment, because while somebody who's in the 15 to 31 portion of our team might not necessarily be scoring or getting the call to be in the championship race of whatever invite we're going to, I need them to see what the atmosphere and the work ethic is like for those that are at that stage, because everybody develops on their own timeline. And, I recruited all of these men with the understanding that your time will come, but they also need to understand that they have an idea of what they think being really great is. But when they start to have other perspectives, when they go to these meets, it really lends to opening their mind, or rather broadening their horizon.
In 3 weeks, as we talked about, the Maine State meet is happening there at Bowdoin. Bobcats looking to defend their title on the men's side, certainly. Tell me a little bit about, what's it going to take to, in 3 weeks from your team?
Well, it's hard for me to say, because I don't know how much is socialized within the Maine running community of who's graduated and who's not. So usually I'm hearing a lot of stuff from the guys on my team.
Yeah.
In our sport, everybody's friends with everybody.
Sure.
But from what I've gathered, there's been a lot of people that have graduated from Bowdoin. I think Colby has had some people graduate or transfer, but I know that they, I think, reloaded to a degree. I would say it's going to be a TBD, Aaron. I really don't know, but this weekend should give me a good indicator, because I think those two teams will be at least entering most of their guys. Like, we are planning to race all of our freshmen, like race. We're not like doing this as a workout. Like,
right.
Those that are in the race are going to be racing.
Yeah.
But it'll also be a great way for me and the coaching staff to really evaluate the competition and see kind of where they're at.
Interesting. And you're going to a kind of an event I haven't seen on the schedule before, the Paul Short Run in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania this year. Tell us about adding that to the schedule.
Yeah, so we made a pivot just because hosting our home meet wasn't going to be in the cards this year for a couple of reasons. And The Paul Short meet is a humongous meet that's occurred, I think, for the last 50-plus years down in Bethlehem, hosted by Lehigh University, and they have made an exclusive D3-only race.
Okay.
And this year, I think there are 70 Division III teams entered into that meet.
Okay.
I think they're going to take the top 40 or 50, but this gives us a wonderful opportunity to go against some interregional competition. Yeah. And if we have a good day, it really sets us up at a bare minimum for an at-large bid.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we have to start earlier and earlier. And kind of part of the impetus for us going is the first big meet we were going to in the years past was Conn College.
Right.
And Conn College is a great meet, but if we haven't seen that level of energy and competition, sometimes it's an overwhelming feeling for our kids. And so we decided to be proactive this year and take them to a meet that is arguably bigger than Conn College, so that when Conn College comes and NESCAX comes, they're not feeling shocked or surprised by the gravity of the opportunity.
Let's talk about the women's team. Gwendolyn Anderson is one of your captains, along with Lucy Painter and Leah White, who competed at Nationals last year. Tell us about these three.
Three incredible leaders. I know that all three have a uniquely different background and perspective when it comes to being a captain this year. Lucy Painter has looked fitter than she ever has, and you know she's someone that's battled injury the first 3 years being at Bates, and so I always give her incredible props for her determination and resiliency. Gwen Anderson put in a crazy summer of training. I think she's been averaging about 65 miles a week, which is not insignificant. And Leah White has been really pushing home the culture and making sure that every single person not only feels included but feels heard on top of all the training she's been doing. So I'm really excited just to see what the women can do this year.
I know both teams, I'm sure, hungry to get back to Nationals as a team. Has that been a focal point of, you know, workouts and talking with them? Is that the North Star, if you will, or not maybe?
Total North Star.
Yeah.
We decided this year to do a team retreat up to Greenbush, Maine, middle of nowhere. It's like an hour north of Acadia National Park.
Mm-hmm.
And we were very open and honest as a team talking about our goals and not being afraid to say some of those out loud. I think in the past, I have been guilty of not talking about some of these outcome goals for fear that it's going to add pressure. But the reality is if we don't talk about it as a team, it's almost like you're just hoping and don't ask, don't tell as the approach. And, you know, pressure is a privilege, I say to the kids often. And if they can get into Bates and if they can run X amount of miles every week while taking a full course load, like, we should be thinking big. But it's also, we're going for aggressive but achievable goals. And I don't think us making Nationals on both sides of the team is something that's out of the realm of possibility at all. I think it's wholly in our in our realm of doing.
Great. And then, I mean, in the past, we've had different types of teams, right? We had the year where Ned on the men's side led every single race. We've had years where different people were trading off leading races. How do you see it going this year, kind of?
On the men's side, I have said to our coaching staff, and I think even the guys recognize it, that we have probably 16 to 17 guys that can fill the top seven spots,
wow,
which is a crazy number to think of. And on the women's side, I do think, you know, we have 19 women on the team.
Mm-hmm.
But I think on any given day, we probably have like three or four women that can interchange in the one or two spots, which, while it's great to have a low six, someone that's always the top performer, kind of like how you mentioned with Ned or Jill Richardson, I think there is something to be said if we have so many people that are at the same level, but at a very high at the same level. So I think Main States will really kind of shine some light on that.
And Main States will be the full 6K for the women?
Correct.
Okay, because I know in the past it used to be a 5K, but
correct. We voted as a coaching staff to move it to 6K.
Great. Well, any other thoughts you wanted to mention about the alumni meet, about the upcoming season we haven't got to talk about?
I just think there's a level of excitement and a level of confidence that I haven't seen from our kids. Not that they always haven't been excited and confident, but I think there's just a level of clarity that they are determined to really raise the bar from the year before. And to me, that's exciting, that they want it, you know, more than the coaching staff, but also are very clear about their goals and guidelines. And as a coach, you know, things are only going to get harder as the season goes along. But the fact that everybody is really bought in and motivated, it just has me excited for what's to come.
Excellent. CBB meet, chance to check out the first years in competition this Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Pickard Field Cross Country Course in Brunswick, hosted by Bowdoin, and then Main States on September 20th, 11 a.m., also hosted by Bowdoin. Looking forward to the cross country season. Danny Feldman, thanks so much.
Aaron, thank you.
Don't forget, you can get all the latest Bates Athletics news by going to GoBatesBobcats.com. And next week on the Bobcast, we'll preview the football season with head coach Matt Coyne as we celebrate 150 years of Bates football. Plus, we'll take a look back at our opening week of action for fall sports. That's next time on the Bates Bobcast. We'll be right back.